This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Friday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. Yeah, it's Friday. What do we say? TG, thank God it's Friday on Busted Pencils. TGIFBP is what we're doing here. It is, yeah, Friday. What a week. Lots of great content. Particularly though, Hallie, teacher Hallie from Educators Amplified. Check it out on the Twitter feed. You can see her short reel really nails a quote 14 years after Act 10 DPI releases a report of the woeful state in teaching. And as teacher Hallie points out, pay and work-life balance were cited as issues challenging teachers. And as Hallie put it out there, oh, thanks for reminding us women that we have to learn how to take care of ourselves better. Anya, you heard that quote, right?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I heard that quote, I thought that is such a good promo. That's such a good encapsulation of not just the thoughts I had on it, but also just sort of like it just made me realize feelings I had about it that I didn't even know I had. So she's just so good like that.
Yeah, she nailed it. So check that out. It's a great one. Check out the whole episode, actually. We look at that whole report 14 years after Act 10, the woeful state of teaching in Wisconsin. In other words, teacher exodus. Yeah, I know some people still like to call it a teacher shortage. It's really a teacher exodus, though. You know, people can't get in there. Text came in. Cam from Nina. Hey, guys, I heard on one of your show promos something about you guys saying you submit students' work through tools to check if they use AI. Did I understand that correctly? There are tools out there, Cam. In fact, we were doing a show the other day, and we were checking on the trending news and the amount of AI-generated papers that are being handed in across the country. One of the software companies that has been, you know, leading the way in the fight against plagiarism, Turnitin.com. Turnitin declares or claims that they have an AI detection. So in other words, if you're a teacher and your student turns in a paper and you think there's no way they wrote this, I think AI did it, you feed this into Turnitin, and Turnitin says, yeah, that was AI generated. No, it wasn't AI generated. We pointed out, though, Cam, the problem with that is that Turnitin, when it's just checking for plagiarism, not AI, has some problems with false positives or identifying plagiarism when it's not. And it's a real crapshoot to see if there is truly software out there that can truly detect AI. As Johnny was saying, probably the best AI detector are the teachers themselves, who actually get to know their students, learn how they write, understand the styles that their students write in. And then all of a sudden, one day when they turn in something that sounds like, hey, this doesn't sound like you wrote this, there's a good chance it was either old school, their sister or their mom wrote it, or AI wrote it. But going for software to check for AI, actually, it's a pretty, pretty high false positive rate using that. Because the reality is that actually when you're using AI to generate compositions, it's really, it's not in a plagiarism realm. And so it isn't, it's an original thing. And we've talked about this with some of the problems with AI. If students are using AI, is it plagiarism? Well, technically it is original material. Now, we've had some people say, but where did that original material stem from? It had to have come from somewhere. It came from the, you know, Mr. or Mrs. AI. No, actually, it came from all of the papers and all of the text that it read prior to this. So is it potentially plagiarizing all of the learning languages that went into getting the ChatGPT or, well, not even Bard now, Gemini, any of those to be able to spit out text? Is it plagiarism? Because actually the only way they could generate their own text is if they learned off of other people's text. So they're not actually creating anything original. They're just repeating lots of things that it's been fed into there. Oh, no. So, Cam, you opened it up. You opened up that can of worms or whatever you want to call it. Can we use AI detection? There are some softwares out there claiming. Turnitin is claiming. And in fact, in the article from the K-12 Dive, if you want to go check that back out, K-12 Dive AI, how many students are using it, they do have some statistics. And it's, actually millions of times students have been using AI to write. The reality of that, though, is that we said it depends on, can the teacher help you have the students use AI to generate ideas? Can they use AI to help sort through lots of information? If we're talking about, though, the reality of going, I'm going to catch those kids using AI, that should be the last thing you're really worried about at this point. You're not going to stop it. They're already using it. The answer is yes, they're using it. The best thing a great teacher can do right now is figure out how to take AI, the tool, and use it best as a learning opportunity for our students. And from Cam, that's a relief to hear. Thank you so much for elaborating. You were worried that you guys were recommending software based off of the promo. No. We would not recommend software. We haven't been bought and paid for yet, Cam. But Anya, you got a little laugh look on there.
Bought and paid for by any software companies. No, of course not.
Not yet. But hey, we like sponsors. You know, in fact, yeah, April 30th, keep your calendars marked. Little promo there, right there. April 30th, Minocqua Brewing Tap Room in Madison. Johnny, Tim, Anya, live Busted Pencils. Yeah, you heard it here first. We're going to be there live from the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. More information on that to come, though. Oh, and so it is one of these nights, and you guys are saying, like, where's Johnny? What the heck is Johnny doing? Johnny Lupinacci. Where is our friend Johnny? Johnny has, had to make it truly Johnny Lupinacci. Are you on the telephone calling in? Are you old school, my friend?
Tim, I'm as old school as it gets, but I guess this is more new school than old school. Stuck in some traffic, man. Had to shoot over to the other side of the state for some stuff and, try to get back in time for today's show. But I'll tell you what, traffic would have me in different situations. So, yeah, calling from the car because, man, I can't miss Friday wrap-up. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. I appreciate that, dude. Well, I don't know if you heard that. Cam from Nina texted us, wanted to know if we were endorsing AI detection software. He had thought he had heard that, and I had said, no, we're not endorsing any AI software. We had done a story about Turnitin, the software company used for plagiarism, and the fact that they were being cited as an AI detection. But no, we are not endorsing any software, any learning materials. The only thing right now, I told Johnny, I said, Minocqua Brewing Company, Tap Room, Madison, April 30th. Tim, Johnny, Anya will be there, live Busted Pencils. I gave him a little sneak peek on that, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, man, I can't wait. I mean, that's not too far off, a couple Tuesdays out. And you know what? We'll be at the Minocqua Brew with all the good people there in Madison and probably some good friends from the walk, too, huh? Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
Going to come out.
Yeah, know it.
So that'll be great.
Hey, and I want to, buses from all corners of Wisconsin, bring them on, load them up, bring them over. Hey, Chicago Teachers Union people, if you're down there listening in the Chicago listening area too, come on up. Everybody's invited. Busted Pencils, we love to have a party. Johnny, so check it out, though. I gave you the news here. It's very reassuring to now know. I mean, Florida has been leading the way, everything education, it seems like, for the last 3 years. And give it to Governor DeSantis again. He has just signed a bill that will mandate the teaching of communism in K-12 schools in Florida. Yeah, yes, mandating the teaching of communism. And anybody's going like, what the heck happened to DeSantis? DeSantis became an advocate of communism? No, 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 Johnny. K-12 students in Florida will be taught the evils of communism because, you know, there's been a lot of encroachment of the communist thinking and tinkering around, I guess, in Florida. I don't know, Johnny, what do you think, you know, Florida, are they on the cutting edge here or what?
Well, no, but you know what I love about Florida is DeSantis can't get out of his own way, because this is a hilarious one, man. I mean, you sent me that article this week, and I chuckled, and I thought, oh, here we go. And, you know, if listeners are fouled, you know, I'm not a big fan of Marxism. I know a lot of people who are public ed supporters and a lot of especially professors and critical folks. I mean, they love the Marxist stuff, but I'll tell you, if there's one thing I can't stand, Tim, it's a dictatorship. And, you know, every book I read of Marx called for a dictatorship of the proletariat. So this will be interesting because, you know, DeSantis is essentially saying he wants people to learn about the evils of communism. But really what he's talking about is he wants young people to be afraid of something that mm-hmm. they have no need to be afraid of. Communism is not something that's a threat. Centralized leadership in the form of dictatorship, now it is. So, man, I would love to be teaching this in schools because it's great in a sense of, hey, whether we're, you know, calling it a communist state or not, any dictatorship has not been one very good. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea of like one person in charge telling everybody what to do, you know, and I know I'm giving a hard line to the Marxists, and they're probably just, you know, furious with me about this. But the idea here is like I love a lot of the things, you know, Marx and Engels had to say about labor organizing, about, I love the idea of, you know, a true democracy, which when I read most of the, you know, the Communist Manifesto, I read a lot about really great ideas that I think some countries have implemented as socialism. And so that is not a communist state. So I get excited about that part. And I know that's the opposite of what DeSantis wants.
It's the opposite, Johnny Lupinacci. Yeah. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Yeah. Communism, the threat, the evilness in Florida, you will be aware. We'll talk a little bit, though, too. Government, communism, socialism, fascism. It's Busted Pencils, Friday night. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. Yeah, it's Busted Pencils. It's, thank goodness it's Friday on Busted Pencils. Johnny Lupinacci stuck in traffic, in the car, calling though, dedication to the show. Johnny, though, we're going to talk a little bit more about this communism, but I do want to read this because it sounds to me, you know, from Diane Ravitch, you guys are thinking up the same. Diane puts in her blog, in Florida, it is never too soon to learn about the dangers of communism. Governor DeSantis just signed a bill to teach about communism in schools from K-12. Diane has some questions, though. Number one, will students learn about the dangers of communism or the dangers of dictatorship? Number two, will students learn only about communism in Cuba, or will they also learn about it in Russia, China, Vietnam, and Cambodia, and elsewhere? Number three, will they learn about the dangers of fascism and study the Nazis and their ideology? Will students learn about dictatorship, whether communist or fascist, and both an ideology with practices that have in common censorship of books, public media, suppression of dissent, jailing of dissidents, subservience of the judicial, legal authorities? So, Johnny, Diane is concerned that, you know, maybe teaching the evils of communism, we might not then teach about the evils of, as you said, authoritarianism, dictatorship, and realizing too that,
that's right.
Okay. So there, that's the slope. I also want to say, when you're talking about, you know, hey, when we look at, quote, Marxism, socialism, communism, forms of government, you're talking about reading, you know, the literature that goes with that. I mean, that's what we do with social studies teachers. We learn about those because actually our goal in one of our is to teach kids about all kinds of forms of government. I look at this as kind of silly because it's a law that, first of all, we don't need this law because if there are social studies teachers in Florida, which I still hope there are, they're already teaching about communism and fascism and socialism and capitalism and you name it isms, because that's what it means to be well educated in a democracy such as America. That's what I'm thinking, Johnny.
Yeah, man, I agree with you, man. So Silly Ronnie down there in Florida with his, you know, ideas. The guy can't get out of his own way. Maybe we should just let him go a little bit more. So more ridiculous stuff from him. But there are great teachers in Florida. And you know what? There are great teachers all across this country and around the world that are teaching about democracy. And again, I'm going to give that definition I gave a couple months ago. It's my favorite, Tim. Decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision being made. Democracy is decentralized governance, right? And so, you know, whether we've seen it in the form of a communist state or we've seen it in the form of a so-called democracy, right? We see a whole lot of centralized governance. We see a whole lot of, you know, we don't quite have a dictatorship, although, you know, I guess I bet when I get off the phone lines, someone like L.A. Tom will call in and say, we don't have a dictatorship, but we do have a corporate sort of dictatorship, corporations running as an ultimate authority. Yeah, right. So you know what? We got to be thinking about this in terms of how we teach in support of democracy, and really what I see with the DeSantis stuff, Tim. And I'm glad you shared it because we talked about it in class on Thursday too with my social studies teachers. One of the things we said is, you know what? When are we going to start empowering children through education? Not striking fear in them with our insecurities. That was a direct quote from a future teacher. She said, when are we going to start empowering students by teaching them and not hitting them with fear because of someone's insecurities? And this is like Ronnie DeSantis's insecurities. Oh, no, the communists are coming. And you know what's sad about this, Tim, is it's manipulative. Because there also are a lot of people who have mixed experiences from a communist government near to Florida. And so there are a lot of Cuban people. And so it's very manipulative on DeSantis's part to kind of create this myth and media hype around, whoa, the teachers are teaching about communism. We got to stop that. Teachers are teaching about democracy. And you know what? There are communist governments who had the goal and the hope of democracy, but got trapped in that loophole of you can't have authoritarian democracy. The two cancel each other out. You got to have either authoritarianism, right? Tyranny of the leader, or, you know, maybe we have at best a benevolent leader, you know, like a King Arthur situation, but either way, that's not democracy. And democracy is decisions being made by those people directly impacted by the decision. Power to the people, a government for the people, by the people. And I'm stealing L.A. Tom's line because I'm on the phone, buddy. Come on, Tom, give us a call.
Hey, you know what, Johnny? When you hang up, you summoned L.A. Tom, and he is actually waiting in line now behind you. L.A. Tom,
we're going to get... I love it, man. Let me let you go.
Okay.
Love you guys, and we'll get back to regular routine soon. Listeners, thanks for listening. Catch us at the Minocqua Brew. I'm out.
All right, man. Later, Johnny Lupinacci. There he was, calling in from traffic, man, stuck out there. Communism, fear-based teaching. I like that point that one of his students was saying, when are we going to stop frightening kids and go for the empowering side? L.A. Tom, though, we said, you know, L.A. Tom probably has something to say about this. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, buddy. First off, we the people, that means all of us, together, collectively, make up what we call government. That's why we pay taxes. because of the fact that we're supposed to get a return on investment from our taxes. Now, for all of you people out there that say you hate government and all these different things, then you know what? Look at it like you're saying I hate myself, because you are the government. And if you don't take a little bit of personal responsibility and realize that you're the government, then I guess that's what we'll end up with, is an authoritarian dictator. Like we may end up with if everyone doesn't get out and vote in November and, you know, end this craziness of what is fascism. It is the combination of the state and corporations. Now, you tell me how close we are to fascism if you look at the actual definition of fascism. So, you know, people, wake up. This is our country. This is about us. And you know what? Joe Biden, as an example, 10 years from now, he'll be gone. Like, he may be gone.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump may be gone. But you know what? Joe Biden is fighting for this democracy with everything he's got. He is fighting for the middle class. Like, we haven't had someone like him since FDR, fighting for the middle class. And that was the Republicans' whole plan, was to basically get rid of the New Deal, get rid of FDR. And you know what? I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there really benefit from Social Security, Medicare. Mm-hmm. They're trying to kill that already right now. But people really need to start looking at it and going, you know what? I think I'm going to go to selectacandidatequiz.com and take the quiz and find out how it is that I am voting against my best interest.
There it is, L.A. Tom. Always love when you give us a call, L.A. Tom. And sorry for cutting you off last night, man. I wasn't able to get back to you. We knew you were there. L.A. Tom giving us a call. Johnny Lupinacci calling in from traffic. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Your calls, 855-752-4842. Teaching about the evils of communism. How about teaching about the awesomeness of democracy as an antidote to communism? More on Busted Pencils when we get back.
You have to cross the line just to remember where it lays.
Ah, you know where it lays, right here. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. The number is 855-752-4842. Should we be teaching the evils of communism? Well, in Florida, they're doing it. Governor DeSantis has signed a bill into law mandating that we teach kindergarten through 12th grade the evils of communism. And I'll read from the Orlando Sentinel, where the story had been broken. Flanked by veterans who served in the Bay of Pigs invasion, Governor Ron DeSantis on Wednesday signed a measure that will lead to the history of communism being taught from kindergarten through 12th grade in public schools. DeSantis said, "We're going to tell the truth about the evils of communism. The lessons are going to have to be age appropriate and developmentally appropriate, but they're going to focus on the atrocities committed in foreign countries under the guidance of communism. All of this will be spread across the curriculum K through 12, said Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. The Department of Education will draw up academic standards for the lessons. Oh, man, Anya, how forward thinking right there. You know, the evils of communism. We're not going to objectively teach communism. No. In Florida, it's the evils of communism.
Yeah, I was sort of wondering, you said K 4 through 12 will get taught the evils. I was wondering what grades get the goods of communism or what grades maybe get the evils of some of these other things we've talked about. It's interesting to come out the gate with, we're going to teach the negative side. Very obvious, yes.
We're going to teach the negative. It just reminds me, though, of what Johnny was saying with his student about the reality, though, of, like, really, we're going to use fear. You know,
right.
We're going to scare people into, we're going to scare children. And this, though, is, to me, what's more frightening about the mandating of teaching the frightenings of communism is that why are we not extolling the virtues of democracy, pointing out possibly when democracy might be under attack, and looking at potentially sometimes putting the mirror up and taking a gander and potentially wandering and going, am I looking at democracy or am I looking at some kind of new age fascism marching on the way in? Because isn't Florida the state where they said you can't read books, you can't teach the truth, and if you work at a college and you believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion, you don't have a job anymore? Those are like things we might want to be teaching about the evils of creeping authoritarianism, maybe?
Yeah, I'll add to that list. Florida is one of those places where if you're the type of artist whose performance involves representing a member of a different gender, sometimes we call this drag, that's also not allowed or under severe criticism in Florida. Your liberty and freedom to wear what you want under attack in Florida too. Yeah, it's quite interesting that these are the battles they pick.
Well, and see, and this goes, it's like, okay, dude, like, why are you doing the evils of communism as now? What are you hiding?
Yeah.
Are you really hiding? Because I'm worried, because if you're not extolling the virtues of democracy to the children of Florida, are you worried then that you're actually intentionally not teaching democracy because they might hold up that, you know, that mirror to the state that they live in and go, whoa, what in the heck is happening here? We learned about the freedom of the press, the freedom of truth, the freedom of expression, the freedom of thought. And we happen to be living in a state that has made laws against freedom. Uh-oh. So I see this also as that kind of another play, which is authoritarianism again, because mandating that you look over here at something evil while at the same time perpetuating similarities of evilness and then denying access to the knowledge that would set you free by understanding democracy and the values of liberty. Man,
yeah,
I just see, you know what I'm saying, Anya?
Yeah, I can think of a couple countries where the information about different forms of government is kind of hard to access. And it's interesting, I think probably Ron DeSantis would think he's enemy number one of places like that, that don't let their citizens know about other forms of government. He might point to places like Russia or China or North Korea, and they might point right back at Florida. And that's very, very interesting.
It's like, really, though, you know, and so we can, you know, as Johnny was saying, you know, DeSantis can't get out of his own way. I'm actually giving DeSantis credit here, because this is, to me, this is intentional. And the reason he's doing this, this is intentionally put forth to subvert and put under pressure the full freedom to teach democracy and being an active citizen in a democracy, and the things you would be learning to be an active citizen in democracy would be a lot of critical analysis and awareness of when democracy was under threat. And this is this isn't DeSantis getting in his own way. I'm sorry, Johnny, I love you, but on this one, this is absolutely strategic, 100%, again, anti-democratic teaching. It's in the form of, or just teaching the evils of communism, because, you know, when people, you know, come across that water stretch between us and Cuba, they're always bringing communism, and we want to make sure that if they're going to get in their way or get in somehow of coming over here, that they're going to find out that we teach evils of communism. And don't you be coming across that water with some kind of virtues of the things that you had. Well, no. Okay, stop it. Just stop it. And let's be honest and let's call this out for what it is. You know, and other people have put very strongly, Look, if you're a fascist and you don't want anybody to know it, well, then you hide behind saying you're teaching all of these great things, such as the evils of this and the evils of that. I do not see one proclamation about teaching the freedom of liberty, the freedom of thought, the freedom to learn, which is absolutely the most essential aspect of freedom. And then if you're going to go through forward and live as a participatory, responsible citizen in a democracy, your freedom to learn has to be absolute, 100% guarded, as never will that be infringed upon, the ability, the freedom to learn. Wow. How do you do that? Well, you support public schools like Johnny, Anya, Tim, all the guests on Busted Pencils have been saying now for years, 5 days a week now, for months. Yeah. You know, an education talk show, really? Yeah, because an education talk show about the virtues of public schooling is really democracy 101. This is where democracy either continues to thrive through our K-12 schools and the learning that we absolutely incorporate into our public schools and the place that our public schools serve as a foundation in our democracy, or we erode our public schools, as we've been talking about, whether it's through a voucher scam, taking monies from the common area, the public schools, giving that money to others so they can then invest it, use that money, spend it in private schools that very much don't have any regulations about teaching truth. They might teach some truth. They might teach a truth. They might teach kind of truths. And that's okay for a private school to do that. It's not okay for a government to take public monies and give it and then allow it to be spent in a private school that is teaching things that might be anti-democratic, anti-learning, anti-human, anti-fact. You know, we have our great astrophysicist, Busted Pencil's own astrophysicist, Ethan Siegel, always talking about the freedom in, you don't have the freedom to deny others the ability to learn. And in a public school, and he's always made this point too, that even coming into a public school, certain times parents are like, I don't want that taught, or I want this taught. No. If it's fact, it's taught in the public school. You don't get to opt out of that. And so if dinosaurs and people are hanging out in your worldview together in harmony, that's a private school. You can't use public dollars for that. And you can't insist on that being taught in the public schools, because it ain't a fact. It's a belief. See, and Anya, I was gentle there. I said, it's a belief.
Yeah, I think you were being real gentle. That was the gentlest way that you could put that lies are not the truth. Yes. Good job.
That's right. You know, so that's why I have Anya here, to make sure that we, label things correctly. Well, you saved my butt last night.
I tried to.
Thank goodness for that. Hey, the number is 855-752-4842. It is Friday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Florida, Ronnie DeSantis. Hey, it's mandatory to teach the evils of communism. I just would like to see the mandatoriness being taught about the creep of authoritarianism and teaching how to spot creeping authoritarianism. Anya, would you sponsor that bill for me?
Ooh, bill sponsor. Not usually my area of expertise, but if you were looking for a sponsor just sort of to give emotional support, yes, I am here for that. Yes, sir, can do that.
I mean, think about that, right? Okay, if we can create a bill to teach the evils, then we should be teaching the evils of authoritarian creep.
Oh, for sure. If we're going to put on paper that we're going to teach the evils of one thing, then it opens the door to, okay, there are different forms of evils, if that's the term we're going to use, and let's make sure our kids should know about all the different evils that could hurt them. But if we're singling out communism, I'm not sure, right?
Well, you know, in the fact that you say, go back to, and this goes to truly the core of teaching social studies, American history, and all of the histories. The reality, remember, Florida is that place where you know, if you teach something offensive, it's true. But if somebody's offended by the truth, such as, hey, slavery really wasn't a great form of hanging out with our brothers and sisters, lots of problems there. Well, I don't like, my kids don't want to learn about that bad stuff because that makes them sad and makes them uncomfortable. Too bad. You don't get to opt out of the truth. You don't get to opt out of the truth. So I'd like to see in Florida the mandatory teaching of authoritarian creep. L.A. Tom's back on the line?
Yes, he is. Whoa. You want him?
Well, how much time do we still, do we have enough time for Tom to make a point?
We've got 1 minute and 10 seconds.
Let's hold him.
All right,
hold
Tom. Come back.
Tom, I'm gonna jabber before we get out of here. Yeah, authoritarianism. The other thing too, Anya, we made mention, you know, Florida is just everything education is happening in Florida. Although we gave a little bit of a prop maybe to DeSantis. One thing he did do right this week, we talked about it yesterday, put forth a bill to limit the book banning in Florida. You're like, wait, the guy who just mandated the evils of communism and therefore neglecting the evils of authoritarian creep, such as what's happening in Florida. Yeah. He decided that if you're going to ban a book, you can only ban one book if you don't have a kid in the school a month. You're only allowed one ban. You're only allowed to challenge a book once a month if you don't have any kids in school. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. L.A. Tom, when we get back, you can call 2-855-752-4842. Back in a minute. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Johnny calling in from traffic. Johnny, hope you get home sometime tonight. L.A. Tom calling back. Whoa, I must have made some really important point. L.A. Tom, what's happening?
And traffic also. In LA. Okay. But I wanted to say that... are we sure that DeSantis isn't going to teach the beauty of communism in his own way? Because I'm still waiting for them to teach actually democracy in the public schools. So maybe DeSantis, I would, you know, stop and think maybe we should teach about democracy, and it's about we the people collectively. And, you know, democracy and unregulated capitalism are two opposite types of ideas in the first place. So I don't know how it is that they can, I just don't see them teaching democracy actually.
Tom, were you listening? That was the point I was making here, is just going, it's like, yeah, I was just, you know, I'm really, you know, the evils of communism. How about let's absolutely teach the wonders of democracy with the people. And if we were doing that, then we would be really helping kids detect authoritarianism. And I see this as Ron DeSantis actually, yeah, right?
Exactly. And I wanted to actually respond to last night real quick. I think, Tim, you could write a book about the legacy of teachers. And what I mean by that is families that have had teachers on our conversation from last night. You know, like my family had 5 or 6 teachers. And that, and you know, my aunts and uncles were teachers.
Ah, L.A. Tom.
Because of Act 10 in Wisconsin, I know, like, my nephew was thinking about going into teaching, and his mom, my sister-in-law, who was a second grade teacher and had to get a second job after Act 10 as a waitress, you know, looked at her son and said, "You don't want to go into teaching." You know, so, yeah. I mean, this legacy of families that have believed in education and the public school and believed in, the next generation actually becoming teachers. I think that has really been harmed by Act 10, Scott Walker, and the whole divide and conquer strategy that they put into place.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking a lot about that, particularly on Wednesday with Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Allie. L.A. Tom, thank you, man. Always appreciate, and if you're stuck in traffic like L.A. Tom, you can give us a call too, 855-752-4842. And if you're not stuck in traffic, you can give us a call too. I mean, it's okay. We still have time. Evils of communism. But Anya, go back to what we said DeSantis might have done a little something okay this week, because he signed a bill limiting the ability of non-parents to initiate book bans. And our friend Diane Ravitch points out that it's a step forward. However, in the same law, this is one of those things here where it's like, oh, wait, there's more to it. Oh, yeah. So while in the same language, guess what? It makes it easier for private companies to come in and take over public schools and put them under charter. Oh, so Ronnie, is this really about limiting book bans, or was this really about deregulating the public schools and turning them over to for-profit charter school management organizations? Oh, wait. Why are those two things in the same bill when they don't have anything to do with each other? Because that's the way you do it.
That's right.
When you don't want people. Yeah, you sneak it in there. You put it down. This is a bill to stop crazy parents. Well, not crazy parents. Well, it would be nice to stop crazy parents. I think I was probably one of those at one point, too. I'm still a parent, though, so I don't know. Maybe I still hold that title occasionally. But, limiting non-parents to ban books, pretty good idea. Why you got to put it together with the same language, though, about authorizing private charter school management organization companies the ability to more easily take over public schools in Florida? Feels like that really wasn't sincere about limiting the book bans, and that this was more about sneaking charters, Anya.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, Tim, Ronnie's got to get something out of it. You know, he's not over the moon that now these crazy neighbors can't come in and say, hey, here's 500 books to take out of the library that I have no children in. He's got to get something for all his work. And that's going to be changing some of these public schools over into some delicious charter schools. Yes.
And then maybe those schools won't be under the law of book challenges, and maybe non-parents will be free to challenge. You're not going to challenge charter school books, because those books are charter schools, private schools. Wait, it gets so confusing sometimes when it comes to all of this. Well, it shouldn't, though. It's Busted Pencils. What a week. Fully Leaded Education Talk. Numbers 855-752-4842. Gotta give a shout out too, though, Anya, to Pete Schwabe. And Nightlight was on his show last night, and I know he's coming up here right after Busted Pencils here tonight. What an awesome guy, Pete. I mean, we had a ball on his show. And Anya, you said, be ready. And it was a great, great experience.
Pete's show is great. I've been a guest on there a couple times. I heard a little bit of you on there. And yeah, it's nice to send my hosts off to a different show. It's kind of like sending your kids to the babysitter. I was like, behave, but this one's a little crazy too. He has interesting ideas. So I'm glad to hear you had fun and that you behaved.
I behaved. Good and job. In fact, I was invited back, and we'll be bringing Johnny the next time.
Good.
But yeah, check it out. You're listening to Civic Media and you're still out there going like, what I need after Busted Pencils, what do I do? Stay awake. Keep it on, because you got Pete Schwabe coming on and his show is great. He is funny. And man, talk about just, a great host and a great show. Nightlife, Pete Schwabe, check it out. It's coming on right after Busted Pencils here tonight. What a week. Callers, thank you for all the calls this week. Guests, thank you for all the guest appearances. Next week, hey, Got a special Dr. Diane Ravitch coming in towards the end of the week. We've been talking a lot about her. She wrote a book in 2020 called Slaying Goliath. It got crushed by COVID. I interviewed her and right before that. And then guess what? We're bringing it back, though, because Slaying Goliath is taking on the private school industrial complex. We're going to bring it back because, hey, in 2020, she cited Busted Pencils as one of those people out there slaying Goliath. Busted Pencils. Have a great week, everybody. And then, well, have a great weekend. See you on Monday.